Hi, I'm Varun Haran. I'm Senior Editor with Information Security Media Group. I have the pleasure today of speaking with KK Mukhi, who is the Founder and Principal Consultant at NII. KK and I are going to be talking about the threat landscape in the Indian context and the challenges being faced by Indian practitioners who he interfaces with on a daily basis, and what are some recommendations from his experience that he can share. Hi, KK. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
So, KK, it's really been a very fast-paced year for security professionals.
Lots has
happened. What are some of the real-world gaps that you've seen that practitioners are struggling to address?
I think it's a difficult question to give a generic answer to because, you know, organizations in India are so varied across the scale in terms of their security maturity. So you have at one end the big banks who are heavily regulated by the RBI, and you could even think that maybe they do a bit too much in terms of security, and you'd be hard-pressed to find major issues in their security thought process, in their approach that they have, in the technologies that they have deployed. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of taper the security maturity level, and then you have this long... It's almost like a dumbbell, right, situation where you have this long list of companies who are, you know, the non-banking financial services and so on and so forth. So they are just beginning to now get security conscious. Their regulators are beginning to issue cybersecurity, you know, frameworks and guidelines and stuff like that. And then you have the other end of the dumbbell, which is pretty much everybody else. But even there we see even traditional manufacturing firms, oil and gas firms, you know, they are beginning to take the first important steps towards, you know, deploying the right basic cybersecurity hygiene that they need. So, yeah, it's been a pretty hectic year for companies like ours. And, you know, we've seen a lot of action across the different industry verticals and different size of companies as well.
So, you know, what would you say is the biggest impediment? I mean, traditionally, we keep talking about, at least in the last 3-4 years, we kept talking about how India and South Asia in particular is a very compliance-driven market.
Right.
And because the impetus right now is all on functionality and, you know, basically investing in business and business IT rather than security. But obviously that has to change, that is changing. But where do you see, what are the choke points, what are the bottlenecks, what does a security practitioner today in India, what does he struggle with the most in your opinion?
I think one big realization that seems to have dawned on industry in general and definitely companies within India is that they don't want to get tied down into expensive security technologies as far as they can now avoid it. Whether it's a big bank or it's a mid-sized manufacturing firm, or, you know, they are looking more at consuming the security service agnostic to what the technology might be. I mean, they want to keep an eye out for what technology the provider might be using.
Right.
But as far as possible, if given a choice, I think they're veering towards, can I consume this as a service? Can somebody deliver this to me in an OPEX model versus, you know, I need to plunk down $500,000 or $1 million on buying this expensive security technology. So those who made those investments, I think if you ask the choke points are in terms of, you know, we talk about technology debt. I think now we're beginning to get into a security technology debt. And the target is very fast moving, right? So now suddenly you've got to deploy EDR, but your EDR may not talk to your SIM, or your SIM may not have the capacity to handle the additional EPS count by taking in the EDR alerts and so on and so forth.
Right.
That's one. The second biggest problem moving away from a very tech-focused perspective is the sheer talent crisis that is there. You know, we speak to so many clients and they're struggling to fill up managerial positions. They're struggling to fill up and retain the talent. And that's true on our side as well, but definitely for clients, this is a big challenge.
Right.
I think the need for more CISOs is there. More and more regulations are mandating the position of a CISO. There are probably not enough CISOs out there. And then below the CISO, the team that you need, we're seeing companies face almost a bit of a crisis in that regard.
Right. So I think there's this definite trend towards managed security services or
right.
an as-a-service model.
Right.
That makes sense if you want to really upgrade your security maturity
Correct.
Without investing in the team and the infrastructure
Correct.
And things like that.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
But, you know, what is it that makes a CISO so special, or that skill set so special, that it's not easily replaceable? In the sense that when we have such a demand for the security profession and we are not able to fill those positions, why do you think, what is the primary reason for this?
That's a great question. Why are we not able to fill up CISO positions? I think the challenge is that if you hire a guy who comes predominantly from a risk management background, he may not understand the technical complexities of cybersecurity. And it's a complex game, right? The adversary is extremely, extremely adept. They have complex tools at hand. They have almost unlimited resources at play. And then there's this problem problem on one side. And on the other side is being able to communicate the business risk, the financial risk in terms of terminology that the business leaders and the CEO would, for example, understand. So this bridging this gap, being able to understand where the business is going, what their challenges are, and then also trying to evangelize that, you know, as you adopt the cloud, as you adopt more and more mobile digitization, social media, these are the risks, and it's my job to tell you about the risks and advise you the controls. But if you still want to sidestep what I'm saying and do what you want, that's also fine, but that's your call. And these are the risks I perceive with what you're trying to do.
Okay.
In some cases, I think CISOs take a view where they might take a view in some situations where they play more of a checkpoint role, you know, more like too much of a policing the business. And that obviously makes the business your adversary rather than your ally in this battle.
Right.
And on the other hand, there's the other extreme where, you know, the CISO feels my role is just to be in a checklist compliance situation. And, you know, as long as we are clearing our ISO 27001 audits and PCI DSS,
right,
I've done my job. So these are the two sort of extremes. And the CISO has to be in the middle of these two situations.
Right.
Some situations require you to put your foot down. Some situations require you to be amenable to what the business wants to do, as long as they're taking a risk-aware call.
Right.
So this balance is very difficult. It's almost like being a negotiator every day of your life, right? It's not an easy hat to don. Probably that's one of the big issues.
Right. So I think, you know, the liability is very high. The burden is on the CISO. At the
right.
same time, he has to be selling all the time.
Correct.
Getting that buy-in into what he's doing. But wouldn't you say that, you know, because we've seen a lot of these business people now step into the CISO role.
Right.
And take on more of a vendor management kind of a role. Something that a CIO has been doing for the last decade and a half.
Mm.
But CISOs really haven't had that time to mature to it, but I think their role has slowly moved towards that. So it should be easier, logically, for a CISO role to get.
Yeah, actually, you know, if you had the right guy who could step in from the business side to handle your risk function, probably it works out in many ways better than a pure techie trying to understand the business risk. Though, I mean, we've seen people make the jump both ways. I mean, we speak in the same cohort of people, so we know that there are people who have come from both backgrounds. But as long as they're able to bridge the gap, you know, if they stay within their comfort zone, then they have a problem.
So, you know, there's obviously a case to be made for going the managed services way when you don't have the skill set. So there's so many pros we've already discussed, but what are some of the cons? And what are some of the pitfalls that you see organizations falling?
I think the biggest one or two disadvantages I would see is that a lack of business understanding. And so the MSSP becomes a very transactional player. Instead of being a partner in the security roadmap, the MSSP tends to be somebody who, you know, okay, I'm monitoring your logs, you know, I'm scanning your systems. But in terms of really advising the customer that, okay, you're an oil and gas company and OT security matters and, you know, this is what you need. So I think being a partner in that journey is the bridge that needs to be crossed. Otherwise, it ends up being a very transactional role, you know, a very SLA driven, and that's it.
Okay.
So I think CISOs are looking for more than that in their MSSP. They're looking for advice. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for direction. Because I think MSSP, a large part of what an MSSP does is also fairly commoditized. So we need to see how we can add more value in that relationship beyond the standard expectation of the client.
So if I were to ask you to share maybe three top recommendations from what you've seen, the things that you've given you headaches or security nightmares when you're dealing with clients,
yes,
what would those three things be?
I think this year has been a mindset shift in the people we are talking to, and I'll tell you what is the biggest shift that has happened. First is we had some really large breaches happen last year and this year in India and the region. And then we had all these, you know, WannaCry and PTI and these sorts of. So they were front page news. WannaCry actually had very less impact in the Indian context, but it opened up the eyes of the board, CXO level, that this is stuff that can happen. There was this perception that, you know, most CXOs would have felt this can't happen to us. We have nothing of great value to a hacker. Now they realize hackers don't care. Hackers are pretty indiscriminate in terms of what they are going for. And in all the breaches, we see this typical two-phase attack where, you know, the sort of script KD level guys come in, or they're in, then there's a halt and then the big guns come in. When they go out and say, you know, we've got access to company X, and now you guys know how to move laterally and get the right data out and then sell it for ransom. So I think with those big ticket news items, and so what happens with that is sometimes it creates a little bit of too much hype or panic, and we have to educate them that, okay, you've woken up, but there is a structured way to do things. You know, you can't implement everything that you want overnight. And the second is that when in terms of breach preparedness, I think there is still a huge gap. Our biggest headache as a service provider from that perspective is the sheer absence of logs or data which we need to do the investigation.
Right.
So if that isn't there, there's no way I can recreate logs that were never created in the first place. So you hit pretty much a dead end. So we're advising customers to at least create, to separate their log management and security analytics and at least pump more logs into their log management setup and then pull less into their security analytics. Not all of it, but whatever makes sense to them. So this is a pain point. And then there is a generic one, which is when you create a security roadmap, obviously it involves investments. Justifying investments in security is always pulling some numbers from the air, right? it's not a science by any stretch of imagination. So that can always be the case. The CEO might read something in the paper, might speak to his peers and suddenly say, you know, oh, we should have a SOC. Well, but the SOC requires significant investment, even if you go with an MSSP model. So they may not realize the investments required.
There's so many other things that I want to ask you, but perhaps another time. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So that was KK Mukhi. He's founder and principal consultant at NII. For ISMG, this is Varun Haran.